It is January 26, 2022, approximately 9 a.m. This is a meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Kovac? Mr. Kovac? He's here.
I'm here. Sorry, I just couldn't find the mute button. I'm here. I got the computer.
Thank you. Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Quorum.
Thank you. I'd like to begin the meeting by noting that one of our former members, Mark Nicolini, unfortunately passed away. I believe it was this weekend. Mark was on this board for approximately 4 years or so, ending in 2018. He was the city's budget director for many years and also was budget director for some other public bodies. I thought he did an outstanding job for us, and I think it's sad that he passed as early as he did. So I think I wanted to make a statement, at least to acknowledge his service. All right. The first item on the board is election of chair, election of officers for 2022. First item is election of chair. Since I have no desire to run as chair again, I will keep the gavel, and I will ask the board if there are any nominations for chair.
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Campbell, and I would like to nominate Mr. Bell for the position of chair.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Is there a second?
This is Ms. King. I would like to second that motion.
Thank you, Ms. King. We have a one nomination. Now, are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, there are no other nominations, and by decision of the board, Mr. Bell is the new chairman. Congratulations, Mr. Bell. The next item is election of vice chair, but for that election, I will now pass the virtual gavel to Mr. Bell. Congratulations, and the gavel is now yours.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad, and just want to thank you for your time as the chairman for the past year. Thanks for your service as well, and the words earlier about the former member. So next item B, the election of the vice chair. Do we have a nomination for the vice chair?
This is Ms. King, and I'd like to nominate Ms. Campbell for vice chair.
Thank you, Ms. King. Do I have a second?
Kovac, second.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kovac. We have that for Mr. Campbell. Do we have any other nominations regarding vice chair? Any other nominations regarding vice chair? Not hearing any. The vice chair will be filled by Mr. Campbell. Congratulations, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Moving on to item number two, the approval of, before we do the item number two, I was asked to take one item out of order due to the attorneys from BBLG being present. It's going to be item seven, letter A, which wanted to make sure that we have them on the line. Terry, are they ready to go?
Yeah, they're on.
Great. So for item seven, A, the pending litigation report is going to require us to go into closed session. So, Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following item A, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub G, Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is likely to become involved. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following closed session. We have a vote to go into closed session.
This is Conrad. I move to go into closed session.
As for a second.
Or second.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Ms. Ford?
Yes.
We need a roll call to go in?
Yes. Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman? Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Quorum. And Mr. Bell, if you just say the time, I'll pause the recorder.
The time is 9:07 a.m.
Thanks.
Motion to go back into open session. 16 a.m.
Thank you.
1 second. All right, go ahead. Mr. Bell,
you
can go ahead now.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. The item number two, the approval of minutes. Item A, regular meeting held December 21st, 2021. Any comments or questions regarding the minutes for that meeting?
Mr. Bell, this is Mr. Campbell. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Do I have a second?
Senator, I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. The motion to approve the minutes passes. Move on to item B. For approval of minutes regarding a special meeting held on January 6, 2022. I have a motion to approve those minutes.
Ms. King, I'll make that motion to approve the minutes, that special meeting minutes.
Thank you. Actually, Ms. King, thank you. I just forgot to ask if there's any comments or questions regarding. Not hearing any, I would accept that motion by Ms. King to approve those minutes. Do I have a second?
Conrad seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Motion passes to approve the minutes for the special meeting. Move on to item number three, the Chief Investment Officer report. For that, we have Mr. Silber. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Before I speak, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Sauer to provide a performance update.
Good morning, everyone. The fund ended the month of December with a value of $6.22 billion. The return of 4.0% net of fees for the month outperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 147 basis points. You can see in the chart to the right there that the fund has outperformed over the 1, 5, 10, and 20-year time periods while matching the benchmark in the 15-year period net of fees. The main performance driver in December was private equity, which added 126 basis points in manager selection. As you saw in the write-up in the board package, we had some very strong private equity reports that came in, and just were really thrilled with how private equity did, both, in the quarter that's reflected here, as well as, for the full year of 2021. On top of that, the fund style bias added 16 basis points during the month, and that was primarily from the fund's value bias. So for the full year of 2021, the total fund and all asset classes outperformed their respective benchmarks on a net of fee basis. 14 out of 15 of the fund's active mandates outperformed net of fees. The fund generated an estimated investment gain of $1,029.5 million, paid out benefits and expenses of $461.1 million, and received contributions of $117.2 million. You may have, if you've been following the market news, you'd see that there's been a little bit of a pullback in stocks to start the year. So as of January 24th, the fund was down approximately 2.7% in January, which brought the approximate value to $6.13 billion. Six out of the 13 active mandates that we have data for at this point are outperforming year to date. The fund has generated an estimated investment loss of $163.4 million, has just made its first expense payment of $1.8 million, and has received contributions of $73.4 million. The withdrawals for the month of January will be $12 million from Brandis, $10.5 million from the BlackRock Global Alpha Tilts, $7 million from DFA International, $6.5 million from MFS, and $2 million from the DFA US Small Cap Value. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
This is Ms. King.
Go ahead, Ms. King.
All right, I think this is a really good report, and I want to say thank you, and I really applaud the entire team on the valuation as of December. And I think you pointed out, just to emphasize, that not only did we beat our benchmark in year 1, 2, 5, but all the way to year 20, we've consistently been beating our benchmark. So that speaks highly of the team and the work put into this. Two questions I have. On the summary sheet, you mentioned 4 out of 15 active, should it be managers? It says mandates.
Yeah, so we've changed that because when we think of managers, we actually have three strategies that DFA manages for us. So we just wanted to be clear that we're counting those DFA mandates three times. So, you know, if we would say managers, it would be a little unclear, as well as DFA one manager or are they three? We felt that mandates was more clear, that each of those DFA strategies is a mandate. So we have 15 total active mandates.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. And then my other question, as you alluded to, the market has been volatile in the last 24 days or so. And with the Fed had intended today, as a matter of fact, intention to increase the interest rate, how do you see this impacting the fund? Or two, if they decide to change course and not change the rate, increase the rate, how do you see this, will this significantly impact the fund also? What are your thoughts on that?
Sure, I mean, it's a really great question. I think it's a question everybody's answering right now, or asking right now, and I wish I had, you know, the crystal ball to give you an answer. You know, it's really hard to say, because I think even if I knew what the Fed was going to do, I don't know how the market would react. You know, the Fed could say they're going to raise interest rates, and, you know, I think you'd probably think that would make the market go down. But, you know, the market may say, oh, actually, that's good, because that means the Fed's serious about controlling inflation, you know, and the market might go up. And it, you know, it could be the opposite. If, you know, if the Fed stands pat, the market's reaction could be, okay, well, the Fed's not serious enough about inflation, so we don't like that, and the market goes down. It's very hard to say. I mean, you know, the market opened up today, so I think, you know, at least there's some optimism about what the Fed is going to do. But yeah, just very, very hard to say, you know, what's going to happen and what the reaction is going to be. I don't know. David, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, you did it very well, Eric. I would just add that, I mean, I think Eric and I and Jerry and probably all of us have opinions and guesses, and we can listen to the prognosticators and experts' predictions, which are going to vary on all of this, and we can repeat what they're going to say. It's always interesting and fun to talk about that. But I mean, I'd say at the end of the day, I'm not sure if my opinion, it doesn't impact what we do with the fund. It's kind of just fun to talk about. I mean, our goal is to really, as you emphasize, kind of setting up the risk parameters and implement the portfolio as we're allowed to, as we've decided as a group, per the investment policy. And I guess from that standpoint, I feel really good about funds. I think our fund is positioned as well as we could. We were going into this year. And I think that's one of the reasons, as Eric just pointed out, our best guesses were going into, we were down, yeah, somewhere between 2.5-3%, and we'll see what happens late in the rest of the month. But one of the reasons our fund is holding up as well as it is, well, it seems like there's a lot of things around us, 10-15% or more, is because we've been, as good as last year was, I mean, we took a lot of steps together in the second half of last year to kind of step ahead. We did our absolute return structure last summer, right? Where we kind of reinforced what we wanted to do there. We terminated a manager that probably would have had a negative return in this type of environment. We also reinforced the fixed income structure in November, and we were able to implement a good chunk of that before the end of the year. Those are really our ballasts for our portfolio in a time like this. So to get those right, to remove the interim tags as parts of the portfolio and get them in a good position is really helping us. Staff suggested and we ultimately updated our investment policy in September to taking risk-based approach to funding our benefit payments. And that allowed us to take money from stocks all the way through the end of the year last year to pay benefit payments. And that's one of the reasons why when you look at the part that's on the screen right now, we were actually underweight public equity going into this year. We were overweight fixed income because of our disciplined process. And when we look at our portfolio right now, I mean, we don't have a positive return, but our stock portfolio is outperforming its benchmark. Our fixed income portfolio is in line with the benchmark. We talked to our hedge fund portfolio manager at UBS a couple days ago, and at the end of the week last week, they were flat to slightly positive, which we're thrilled about. We think our real assets portfolio is doing really well. I mean, real estate's should be doing okay in this environment. We're watching private equity closely. The thing that's, if it was marked to market, this is the environment for private equity with growth stocks, technology going down, and that's a lot of what private equity exposure is. But I mean, we think the underlying businesses are propping up fine, so it's more going to be a timing thing. We are not going to get our next statements for private equity until June, and I mean, I think the whether or not we see drawdowns or markdowns in private equity will depend on ultimately what the market does over the next months and whether there's a quick bounce back or whether this is a prolonged downturn or not. All in all, we're pleased with how our funds positioned whether the market, I guess the last thing I'll say on that is, I mean, I think that the timing of this is, I think a lot of people here would probably say the timing of this downturn is probably pretty good for the fund as well, because, I mean, we got through December 31st, which is a very scrutinized number, and, I mean, we're a long-term investor, right? So if we have a downturn in the first quarter, the first half of this year, and that still leaves plenty of time to bounce back. I was one more thing separate to that as part of the Chief Investment Officer report, but if there's any more discussion we want to have on performance, I'll pause there.
Well, thank you.
David, any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Not hearing any, David. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Klusman.
Yes, thank you. I was about to ask David all the things that he just answered on his own, so just thanks. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, don't be shy, the point I was going to ask, but I think you answered it in your response, is obviously when you and your team set up our allocation, it's pretty much a theory based on your, you know, experience and education and expertise about what would be a good allocation for the different strategies. But now we just passed through another era of where you can test that, where we had a great year, we just came off a great year, and now there's a little bit of a adjustment. So I was just going to ask you that. I hope you're I knew you'd say you were, but that you're watching that as to how the allocation's performing, because I know in the past you've said you're looking for things that are responsible, so we're never going to hit the high highs, excuse me, or the low lows. That's the point. And from what you said, if I'm understanding this correctly, which is why I'm re-asking, you're doing that, and that has proven that the allocation is operating as you intended. Did I catch that right?
I think that's, yeah. I think you said it very well. I mean, at a short time period, I mean, as we know, anything the best laid plans and thought out plan can go out of favor. I mean, what we're trying to do is really, really hard. We just talked about how the fund did last year, and when everything was going well, and things flipped really quickly weeks ago, like you both have talked about, Tom and Molly, and to then try to protect on the downside after participating in performing the upside is very hard to do. And I mean, we're thrilled right now, Tom, that I mean, obviously, we prefer to be making money and having positive returns, but and we can't do that when everything around you is losing money. So the next best thing is to protect and mitigate that downturn so that when the markets hopefully go up over the long term, we have more money to grow the earnings going forward. And we think we're absolutely doing that. And how the portfolio has been designed, we're very happy with how we're holding up. So.
Great, that's what I was trying to get at, because when I was newer on the board, I used to look at that number, like you see mid-page along the left margin where the fund is down 2.7%. But like you mentioned in your explanation, that's not everything. We're still doing well in some regards, but that's the total when everything's blended together. So just so people that are looking at those numbers know that, you know, that as individual allocations, some are doing better than others, but that's just the market conditions. Good, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klusman. Mr. Silver, did you say you had more to this you wanted to discuss?
Yeah. Thanks for giving me just another couple minutes. I wanted to remind everybody that our next investment committee meeting is on February 10th. So just a couple weeks from tomorrow, the package will be going out next Friday. I just want to remind, I know we talked about this before, but hopefully everybody block off there that morning for them. We'd love to have everybody participating and blocked off to be available through noon on that day, because we're interviewing the three hedge fund finalists during that meeting, and it would be great to have full participation for just the three interviews, also the discussion, and hopefully there'll be a selection at the end of it. Callan and I, when we were trying to finalize some of the details of this meeting, if anybody's really against this, if you can speak up, let me know. But we were thinking that it would be a good idea to maybe start the meeting at 8:45 in the morning. And I mean, we could even make it, yeah, And I guess the rationale for that is that sometimes, I know in searches in the past, you know, you get all the materials as a board before the meeting and have a few minutes, I mean, in this case, about 15 minutes, to, if you have any questions, want to ask a CAP staff before we just jump into the first interview at 9 o'clock. Sometimes I think investment committee members have appreciated that in the past, and since we're trying to get the interviews started by 9 and the meeting done by noon, I mean, yeah, we were thinking maybe we have a start time of 8:45 that time. I mean, if some people can't make it until 9, it's, yeah, I mean, you still wouldn't miss any interviews if you came at 9, but then that also gives you an opportunity for any committee members who might have questions they want to ask before the interview starts to be able to do that between 8:45 and 9. So we were thinking about doing that, and if there's not a big objection, I think maybe we would go forward with working with the committee chair.
Thank you, David. I don't see a problem with personally starting at 8:45. Any comments, questions from the other board members or staff?
This is Aicha. I'd be glad to start at 8:45.
Thank you, Aicha. Anyone have a problem with starting at 8:45? Not hearing any concerns regarding, let's plan on that, David, that we'll get started at 8:45 on February 10th.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Anything else, Mr. Silber, to address for great. Thank you.
That complete item at the prepared remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Not hearing any other questions or concerns regarding, we'll move on to item number 4, new business. Item number A, authorization to sign vouchers. Mr. Allen?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Silber is a very tough act to follow. With an 18.9% return last year, I don't have anything as glamorous as that to talk about. This is our annual meeting, and there's a lot of routine business items we have to discuss. So the first one is the authorization to sign vouchers, as the chair has said. And in your packet, there is a form, and I want to mention that this form has been updated. At the request of the comptroller, we added another name. After the packet went out, account director Richard Baer from the comptroller's office is now included on the form. And you'll see that when we pass around the original for signature. And of course, this is a form that we need to have signed every year. These are the authorized signatures for signing vouchers, especially in connection with our banking operation and for, you know, potentially payment of bills if we need signatures. So after the meeting, we will pass this around to all the trustees for their signature and the officers of the fund as well. Thank you, Mr. Bell. The next item is also a routine, but it's a monthly routine item, retirements, death claims, and refunds for the month of December. And in your packet, there is the normal list of these items. It is routine. I don't have any exceptional items to note. So we do need a vote to authorize the payment of the payroll for December, which will be made at the end of this month, very shortly. So if we could have a motion for that, I would appreciate it, so that we can run the payroll.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Is there a motion to approve payroll for January?
Conrad moves to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Do we have a second?
Aicha will second.
Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve payroll passes.
The next item is it's a placeholder, really. It's a conference request for the month of January. There are no requests from any of the trustees or officers to attend conferences. As we all know, we're still in the COVID period, and many conferences are not being held in person. Some are being held in remotely or through video conference, but there are no requests this month from anyone to attend a conference. So I will skip over that. Go ahead. Item D, Mr. Chair, is approval of the 2021 securities lending budget. And this is another annual item of business routine, housekeeping item. It's a little bit arcane. It's completely unique to our fund. I don't think anybody else has this. We have a securities lending operation which generates some revenue, and we're required by the city charter every year, pursuant to the global pension settlement back in 2000. Every year we need to sweep these revenue earnings into the combined fund, or else they would remain in one of the older funds. And of course, these are amounts that are used to offset the normal qualified administrative costs for operating the fund, all sorts of purposes, payment of money manager fees, payment of benefits, etc. The total for this year that we're asking to be swept into the combined fund is $552,798.88. And we have Mr. Gopal on the line, right?
Yes.
Dan, do you have anything to add, or David, do you have, and Eric, have anything to add about the calculation of this amount, about these revenues? Anybody?
Yeah, this is Dan Gopal, Chief Financial Officer. And basically our securities lending revenues have gone down from prior years. And mostly that's a function of we have higher collateral requirements than most other securities lending programs. And we also, based on our allocation, we have less securities in separate accounts that we can lend out. So that's why our securities lending has gone from over 2 million in 2012 to down to 553,000 for this year.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, is that Ms. King?
Yes, it is. Dan, help me understand, why is it going down? Chair, I'm really trying to get an understanding of the security lending account in itself. And I'm looking at the 80-20 split. It's a 20% fee. Is that saying that we pay 20% fee to administer this account each month?
Yes. So basically it is, we pay Northern Trust, 20% of the earnings just to administer the program. And again, we do have, going back to the collateral requirements, we require people that want to participate in the program, that want to borrow our securities, we require them to put up either cash or, correct me if I'm wrong, David or Eric, highly graded federal bonds or other notes like that.
Yeah, you're explaining it very well, Dan. I mean, I would just add, I'll just expand on Dan, what Dan is saying is absolutely correct. I think Northern Trust and even Callan had explained to us that some investors, as the securities lending market has evolved in the last decade, some investors are trying to get trying to earn more or maintain the same amount that they're getting in securities lending by basically loosening their collateral standards that they accept. It's not uncommon for some investors to, for example, accept stock as collateral, or international bonds at collateral. For us to lend our securities, and we just haven't done that. There's nothing is free, ultimately the risk is that if we loan out a security that somebody else borrows from us, and the trade is that they give us something that ultimately is volatile and loses more. There's a possibility that we could be in a position where we don't end up whole in that whole transaction. So we've always, we've been as conservative as possible in our lending, just accepting cash. And like Dan said, I think US government agencies, and you know, we've said that, you know, if we'd rather, it's so, from an investment standpoint, we're willing to take risks in certain parts of the portfolio, but this isn't necessarily a place where we want to take extra risk to get that back up to $2 million, for example, that we've seen in the past.
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Allen. Again, I'd like to add a comment, if I may, to Molly's question, Ms. King's question on this.
Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Okay. So, Ms. King identified the 20% fee to Northern Trust. Northern Trust is, of course, our custodian, and I'd like to point out two things, and I'll be brief. When we renegotiated our agreement with Northern Trust last time, we actually improved this. There's a split between the revenue, as Daniel and mentioned. It used to be, we used to get only 75%. We increased our portion of the split to 80% several years ago when we renegotiated our custody agreement with Northern. And, you know, it seems like a sizable portion that Northern Trust gets, but they do bear some risk in this process as well, because they are guarantors in connection with some of the lending. David's right, there's risk to our fund. The securities lending operation is one of our biggest asset managers, basically, in a way. We don't always think of it as an asset manager, like it's not quite the same as, you know, the Standard & Poor's 500 index, but Northern is involved in this, and they do bear some risk, and so they have, as part of their arrangement, negotiated a 20% fee, and it is, I can tell you, it is very competitive arrangement we have compared to other global custodians that we reviewed at the time several years ago. So I hope that answers your question, Mama.
Thanks, it did.
Thank you.
You know, I'll add one other thing. Sorry if I'm belaboring it, but securities lending, in a weird way, sometimes you can make more on securities lending when the markets are more volatile. And like, so 2020 was obviously a volatile year, and there were a lot of, for example, hedge funds that were willing to pay us extra for us to borrow our securities because they had more opportunities to make money trying to short stocks and bonds that we held in separate accounts. If you think about what happened in 2021, markets went up pretty much regularly during the course of the year. So the people who are trying to make money shorting, trying to borrow stocks and bonds from us to short, didn't have as many opportunities and weren't willing to pay us as much for the ability to borrow our securities. So this is something to watch. 2022, obviously, if the rest of the year continues like it has in January, I almost expect maybe a little bit of a bounce up in this part of the portfolio. In a weird way, though, I mean, that may mean the rest of our portfolio has a lower return, obviously, than 18.9%, but the securities lending income might go higher in that environment. Just something that I guess it'll be interesting to see how this income comes in as we look at it into 2022.
Thank you. So I guess we do need a motion to accept this report and to sweep the $552,000 and change into the combined fund in order to secure this amount for use for administrative costs for operating the fund.
Hey, thanks everyone for that information. Do we have a motion to approval of the 2021 security lending budget with the amount of being $552,988.88 into the general fund?
Mr. Chair,
I made that motion.
It's actually, we're going to round up to $553,000 for the transfer.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. So it would be a same motion, just with the total being $553,000 into the general fund. And did I hear Ms. King with the first?
Yes, I made that motion. Yep.
Thank you, Ms. King. Do I have a second?
Mr. Campbell, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion passes. Mr. Allen, item number E in new business?
Thank you. And this item requires some action on the part of all the trustees and the officers. This is another annual business housekeeping item. It's the annual obligation of the trustees and the officers to submit annual statement of economic interest to the city's ethic board, And in your packet, there's a copy of the form. This is an electronically fillable form, so you can fill it out online. Many people are, you know, working remote today, and I always fill out mine out a little early so I can tell you there's the little, I won't call it a hook, but the little difficulty at the end is the signature line is not electronically fillable. So you actually have to print this out, and unless you have an electronic signature on file in your computer, you have to fill it out, you have to print it and sign it manually, scan it back in, and then send it via email, or you can send it via snail mail as well. But otherwise, it's completely electronically fillable, and it's due by the 28th of February. This is an important requirement, and they're serious about it. They levy $50 a day fines for late filing, so just a friendly reminder that nobody wants to get caught on that, I'm sure. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any questions, comments regarding? Not hearing any, we will move on to item F, which requires us to go into closed session. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following item. F, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub C, for considering employment, promotions, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. I have a motion to go into closed session.
Kovac makes a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Seconds. Kovac. Thank you, Mr. Klusman.
Thank you.
Have a roll call regarding?
Okay, I'll start with Mr. Campbell.
Aye.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
And Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Quorum, and if you just say the time, I'll pause the recorder.
Time is 9:53 a.m. We have medical reports. Item A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for January. Mr. Allen?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in your package, you have the normal monthly routine reports. The first one is from the medical panel. It's a schedule of the approvals. And again, this is these are all, in this case, this month, are annual reexaminations of people that are on disability as required by the city charter. And the medical panel, in each case, approved the recommended approval of recertification of these folks to continue receiving their disability benefits, no exceptions. The second report is also a routine report. It's from the Medical Council, which, as you may all recall, is a three-physician panel, that is hired by the Employees Retirement System. There's only, these are re-examinations with a notable exception. There's one new application for due disability from a from an MPS employee. This is Ms. Janine Lee, who's a boiler attendant at MPS, and she has a disability date of last July, and so her application is pending for approval by the Medical Council, you know, following securing all the medical records, which seems to take a long time, actually. But anyway, all the rest of these re-exams were recommended for approval, recertification of the payment of disability benefits for the next year for all the people on the list. And that's my report. But we do need a motion to accept the recommendations of the clinical panel and the medical council.
Jerry, this is Gus. I just want to step in. That is recommended for approval on Ms. Lee.
Oh, it is recommended for approval. Okay, I guess I didn't read the report correctly. That's right. The title of the report is approval. Pardon me. I've only done this every month for 14 years. So sometimes I don't get it right. Thank you, Gus.
Thank you, Mr. Allen and Gus as well. Any comments or questions regarding from board members? Not hearing any, make a motion for approval of the medical council and medical panel recommendations for January 2022.
Mr. Campbell, make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Do we have a second?
Conrad seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, the motion passes for approval. Item 5, letter B, the disability findings regarding Kenyetti Wooden. Regarding this, the hearing examiner Maroney provides in its decision, quote, the decision to deny Ms. Wooden's application for the accidental death benefit was supported by credible evidence in the record and is thereby affirmed. Regarding item B, any comments or questions from board members? Not hearing any. Do we need an approval for this, Mr. Allen?
Yes, the board needs to act on the recommendation of the hearing officer.
Not hearing any comments or questions, like to put forward a motion for approval of the disability findings of the hearing examiner Maroney regarding the disability request for Kenyetti Wooden.
Conrad moves approval.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Do I have a second?
Well, Mr. Bell, this is an application for duty death benefit, not disability.
Oh, excuse me. With that change, you still have the first, Mr. Conrad?
Yes, I still move to approve the finding of the hearing examiner.
Do I have a second regarding?
Sava will second.
Thank you, Ms. Sawa. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, this motion passes. Moving on to item 6, unfinished business, letter A, pending legal opinions and service request reports. Is this Mr. McLean?
Is Patrick on the line?
Yes, I am on the line. Thank you, Mr. Allen, and thank you, Mr. Chair. We're fairly well caught up to date. The only outstanding opinion request is related to the authority of the Deputy Comptroller to serve in place of the Comptroller as an ex officio member of the board. I am anticipating that to be completed before the next meeting. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board has.
Any questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, move on to item letter B, pending legislation report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item is there are some ordinances pending and there's some activity since the last regular meeting anyway. So the mayor signed in a substitute resolution for authorizing city departments to expend monies appropriated in the 2022 city budget for special purpose accounts, debt service fund, provisions for employees retirement fund, delinquent tax refund, common council contingent fund, and aid fund and special capital projects and purposes. And we do have some special purpose accounts that we administer at ERS, and so that has been signed as of the 20th of December. And then, there's no other activity on any of the other items at this point. In fact, item number three is, well, it's still, there's still, I guess, some outstanding litigation on item three with one of the collective bargaining units. So, but there's no new activity on that. And so that's the pending litigation report for today, for this month.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any comments or questions regarding the legislation report? Not hearing any, we'll move on to item six, letter C, Executive Director's Report, Inventory of ERS Projects. Mr. Allen?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I'll try to go through this briefly. The first item on a personnel update, that ERS is still working with DER to fill the network administrator position. Actually, that position is being reclassified. We haven't had success filling it, and we're trying to get some more duties in there that would involve network security as well as the previous duties, and so that is going to take a few more months to work with DER on that one. Skipping down to item number two, member services. New retirees on a payroll for the month of December. There were 37 on that list. We are currently anticipating 54 retirees for the month of January that we'll ask the board to approve at next month's meeting. And then we have a schedule of all the retirement seminars that are being done, and they're being done virtually, by the way, as we've been doing routinely during the pandemic. And the dates are there for both employment classifications, general city, and then public safety employees as well are all being well provided for. Item C, I guess this is an update on the city's vaccination policy. The city, in its wisdom, has decided that if people who are terminated as a result of the vaccination, non-compliance with the vaccination mandate, will be treated as involuntary separations, and these members will be eligible for the separation benefit, which is a benefit payable from the ERS, by the way. It's a monthly separation allowance, and I'm not aware that we've received any of these yet, but there could be a few. Hopefully there won't be too many people that were let go for non-compliance, and I don't believe there were, from what I understand. Since December, you know, since December, we've not been, our offices haven't been open to the public due to the wave of the Omicron wave, and none of that has changed. We're hoping that this wave will pass in the next month or so, and we'll be able to take in-person counseling again. But for now, we are, as always, down to a skeleton staff and trying to keep everybody safe among our clients and our employees. There's a breakdown of the benefit payouts for the month that shows the types of benefit payouts. And not too much to say about that. Financial services, the 1099 forms are currently being mailed out, and that's all on schedule. These are tax forms for the people who receive benefit payments from us for 2021, and that I'm happy to report that that's occurring without a hitch. Our outside financial auditor, independent financial auditor, Baker Tilly, completed their preliminary field work, and we'll be looking forward to continuing to work with them to field their questions and provide the representations they need to finalize our financial statements that will be coming before the board, I believe, in July this year, as usual. And I'm delighted to report that early employer contributions were received from the city, MPS, MMSD, Waterworks, and Veolia. The city contributed $71 million to the ERS and $110 million to the Employer Reserve Fund. These contributions were made in the first week of January, and we call them early because technically these contributions are not due and payable for the 2022 plan year. Until the end of January 2023. But the city has continued to contribute a year, more than a year early. And so that allows us to put the money to work in the trust, and we're all delighted with that arrangement. And just for an update, this year will be the year in which the actuary compiles his 5-year experience study that as required by the city charter. And he will be coming to the board with his presentation and recommendations in the fall. Probably, he's thinking September, but if we get it done in October, that'll be plenty soon enough as well. And so this is a significant event because it determines the amount that the city and the other employers will contribute as a percentage of cover pay for each of the next 5 years beginning in 2023. And so we will be working with the actuary for the rest of the balance of this spring and summer to, you know, help him prepare that that experience study. And as you may recall, those that have been on the board for a while, that study makes recommendations not only for the amount of the contribution, but the underlying inputs into the contribution, which include all the economic and demographic assumptions for, you know, retirement age, turnover, mortality, and of course the discount rate, you know, the expected return on investment. So that's a major event every 5 years, and we're looking forward to, you know, continuing to work with that, with our outside actuary on that as well. On information services, everything is going well. All the projects are performing as we hoped they would. And then the last item on administration, again, just a second reminder, please fill out your statement of economic interest for 2021. The statements are due on the 28th. So that's my report for the month. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Just one quick comment regarding on those item 3, letter C, the employment contribution. So now the reserve fund is, what's, if you know or anyone else, what is the total in that now?
Well, it's another $10 million, and I believe it's just $10 million brings it up to $50 million, I believe. Molly, the budget office is operates, is, and Dan, and maybe Eric, you have some accounting on that as well. I know there's additional amounts planned for this year beyond the $10
million. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Yeah, the pension reserve, and maybe that's not fair to ask you that question. Eric, you guys,
yes.
Go ahead.
Jerry, I have it up here. I mean, the value right now is $51.9 million.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought. It was in the $50 million range. And I believe the budget calls for $30 million in total. The first $10 million has been contributed at this point, though. Which is
so we're looking at another $20 million over the course of this year?
That's my understanding from the budget that was approved by the city in November. And that would, you know, bring the fund up to approximately $70 million. And of course, this is a contribution stabilization reserve, otherwise maybe known in plain language as a rainy day fund. It will help the city meet its substantial contribution obligations, especially as they increase dramatically for the calendar year 2023. Those contributions are jumping up by about another $70 million as projected. We'll wait and see exactly how that's going to be when Larry, our actuary, completes his evaluation this summer in June. Now the evaluation will take into account the excellent 18.9% return we had. So we'll have to wait and see what the contribution amount will actually be for 2023. And of course, it will also include the reset of the stable contribution, all of which remains to be seen. And of course, the board does get to act and approve the valuation report and also approve the valuation report for 2022 and approve the stable contribution reset for 2023. So that's why I mentioned it earlier. This is a significant item of business for this year. Thank you.
Jerry, just to clarify, the city's planning on making a $30 million contribution to the reserve fund later this year.
Not 30 million total, but an additional $30 million, Daniel?
Yes, yes. Additional 30 million, that'll bring it up to above 80 million.
Okay. That's good news. I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Just one follow-up question regarding, so this rainy day fund of approximately, hopefully, 80 million by the end of the year, twofold question. Can that be used for anything else by the city, or is that strictly reserved for the pension? And if this contribution is obviously mandated, is there a chance that the city would consider contributing that early again? I know they do that for the contributions like we discussed in the 2023 payment, or is that something that would need to go on a future agenda?
Well, the answer to the first question is, by charter ordinance pursuant to the global pension settlement, the employer's reserve fund is the formal name of that fund, and it can only be used to make contributions to the pension plan. It is not available by law for any other purpose. It cannot be used to pay salaries or fix the streets or any other, provide any other service that the city provides. It's exclusively for the use of the pension fund. It's been accurately described as a lockbox for funding the pension plan, and so that's all that it, and they can't touch it for anything else. And then on your second question, I think that's really a question for the budget office, but my understanding is it's expected to be paid during the calendar year. Any time that it is paid during the calendar year, it'll be timely. I don't know if I'd call it early, but it's because there's no requirement that it be paid on any certain date other than it's supposed to be paid for and during calendar 2022. And Molly, if you have a different understanding, since you are our budget analyst in the budget office, please comment on that. But my understanding is it will be made sometime this year.
Yes, it will be. The additional $30 million will be transferred to the reserve fund at some point this year. I have to guess, I would say around June-ish when we have a better understanding of how we're closing out 2021. But you're accurate that the purpose of this is solely for funding it's mostly like you said, well stated when you say it's more of a lockbox concept and not to be used for anything but for the contribution of the fund as it needed.
Right. Also, I should have mentioned that I'm glad, in the executive director's report, we do have the annual statement of goals for this year, 2022, and also a response to the performance of the goals for 2021. We responded to each item, and I think I can say that we had, in my opinion, favorable results for 2021 as far as achieving our goals. Some of them are ongoing, but others were, had a completion to them. So if there's any questions on those, I'll be happy to take it now or at any future meeting as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay.
I just have one other follow-up question regarding this reserve fund. Is this close to, $51 million? Is this just in a city account, or is it working for us investment-wise, or is it just there?
Yes, it is working for us. This money is technically an asset that belongs to the city of Milwaukee. It's in the pension reserve fund. The city of Milwaukee is the investor. They have it invested with Robert W. Baird in a limited duration bond fund. And the Finance and Personnel Committee is actually the administrator of this. They make the investment decisions about this particular money. And when I say short duration bond fund, what I mean is that duration is, I believe, a year or two. And they do ask us for advice on it initially, and we receive reports from Robert W. Baird on this money. Eric, do you have any other comments to make about this, or David, about the fund with Robert W. Baird?
Maybe the only, explained it really well, Jerry, I'd add is that, we do have the custody of it. I think that's accurate to say, so that We do see daily values on the reserve fund every single day. We actually include it in the board's board package and the performance, the Friday mailing. So again, since it's so conservatively managed by design, by the city's design, you shouldn't ever see it swinging wildly based on how the funds are doing. It's a conservative short-term bond fund, but we do have 1% transparency on it.
Yes, but I would reiterate that the Financial Personnel Committee makes the decision about who's going to manage those assets. That's not a decision that the Board of Trustees makes. They do, however, ask for input and from our expert investment staff. And I know that it's been a while, but the staff has, given testimony to the Finance and Personnel Committee in prior years. And the Barry folks have done actually very well. I should always mention that. That's a, in my opinion, a very solid firm. I've had the pleasure of doing business with Robert W. Baird for about 30 years in this present life and in prior lives as well. And, they've done just an excellent job in performance of that fund.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, for the information. Any questions regarding any of the unfinished business for Mr. Allen? Again, thank you. Not hearing any, we will move on to item 7, which is all informational, and we already went into closed session and completed item A. Any questions regarding items B through K from any members or staff? Not hearing any. Is there any other? I'm sorry. Did I hear?
Oh, it's Mr. Allen. I was just going to say these are mostly routine informational report items, and we had nothing out of the ordinary to report this month on that.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Not hearing any comments or questions regarding items B through K. Any business needed to be addressed by the board prior to motion to close? Just like to remind everybody for the meeting then on February 10th, 8:45 a.m. And not hearing any other questions or comments, do I have a motion to close the board meeting?
Ms. King will make that motion.
Thank you, Ms. King. Did I also hear a second?
Yeah, I'll second. This is Aicha.
Thank you, Ms. Sawa. The board will convene closed at 10:21 a.m. Everybody have a good day.